champions. Costa turns Alderweireld out. Hazard! He has done it. He won the title for Chelsea a year ago. He might just have won the title for Leicester City tonight. Leicester are champions. Leicester City are champions of the Premier League.
Hello and welcome to Where Was the Shout. I'm Mark Carlaw, joined by Zachary Stevenson.
Hello, I am Zachary Stevenson.
And Rob Runciman.
What?
I was going to change it a little bit differently, so I was going to say with, and I seem to never really get
it. No,
it's
right. Fine, it's fine. You're joined by both of us, but it's always interesting every week to see what Rob's going to say.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, Rob. Rob doesn't sound happy. You don't sound happy, Rob.
I'm all right.
Okay. This week we're going to be talking about results for the weekend's football. Of course, new champions of England, Leicester City. So I think this is basically dominate the whole show really this week.
It has to really, doesn't it?
And then predictions.
Oh god!
But before we start talking Leicester and all that shite, you know, because I'm sick of hearing about it already. Do you know what I mean? I mean, day two and I'm fed up with it. But I'm actually, you know, there's a lot to be said. How are you both? You're right. What's been going on?
I'm very happy. I've just put some more stickers into my.
Yeah, Zach has bought a sticker out for you.
My Panini UEFA Euro 2016 France official sticker album.
So you know, Zach, you are an adult, but you're not really. You're like a man child.
Who says I'm an adult? So
I haven't bought one.
You're insulted by that accusation.
I haven't bought one since the 1994 World Cup. Just saying to Zach beforehand, because the one in 1990 Italian night was the best one ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, big folder, and you just bought an issue each week, you know, for 12 weeks or whatever. It was amazing.
Are you talking about the Merlin one?
I'm going Merlin one. I'm talking Merlin.
The folder was Merlin, yeah.
Oh, was it?
There was a Panini one as well, but right. That was very
the folder
cool.
One,
yeah.
I'm talking
can
about.
I look at this? I know it's not great radio, but
the one for you saying 94 was just, you know, bog standard rubbish. I never bought one again.
Yeah,
you did all right.
Out of it.
Disappointing, wasn't it?
How long have you been doing this for then? Because you look like
doing for about 3 weeks.
He's looking good. It's got a bit of weight behind.
Leighton Baines in there, he's got no chance of going. Just think,
you know, when you're a kid and you can only buy a couple of packs every week.
Yeah,
and that was an adult. Like I can splash the cash before I'm like, oh, I stick around them. I buy 10 packs.
Oh, you buy this for your son?
My son that I'm going to have in 5 years. Yeah. No, but it's like it's one pint, isn't it? And now I don't drink anymore, so
yeah. This is your drinking, isn't it?
I look at it as every pint I would have had, I buy 10 packs of
Panini.
Panini official sticker album.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh yeah, basically you said before we went on air, you said you're hoping to keep saying their name because you want to get them sent free.
I'm going to mention it several times and then I'm going to send an email to Panini saying, hey guys,
Heineken.
Thanks very much.
No, I don't like Heineken. I like Amstel.
No, if I'm going to say anything with Budweiser, it's got to be Budweiser because they're the ones that got me the tickets for the cup final. So.
Well, we're talking about Budweiser, aren't we? We want to get them involved in the show somehow.
Yeah, so Budweiser, if you're listening as well.
Yeah, let's get Budweiser.
No swearing.
Oh, well, we can now, can't we? Unless they're going
to
listen.
Yeah, but they might listen back to it until they swear. So
oh, f*** off.
I can always beep that out.
So
other things that are quite interesting, I just started working on my debut solo album on Monday as well.
Yes, you did mention this. You know, you've been a musician for like about 58 years, haven't you?
I mean, I have recorded albums with bands, but I haven't done a solo album before. So
it's
your first
solo project?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I was telling Rob all about it in the garden.
Looking forward to it.
When it's finished.
I mean, obviously, I'm not paying for it because I know you, so you're going to give me a free one.
Yeah, of course.
When it's finished, we can use
one of the songs as the intro.
I don't want to pay for Amstel anymore either, if that's any chance of that.
Sod Amstel. Champions League wankers.
Right, football, gents. Before we go into, you know, top of the league stuff,
Let's work our way up.
Yeah. Let's start from the shit and let's work our way to the gold. Newcastle 1, Crystal Palace 0. Massive result for Newcastle. I think it's like, you know, it was a must win and they've
done it. Absolutely, yeah. And what a goal as well.
Oh, unbelievable, wasn't it?
Andrews Townsend was typical of him, isn't it? He's got a great left foot, we know that. And he's capable of doing that. But I'm a bit worried now, look, Hodgson's going to... You know, definitely take him to the Euros.
Who was saying recently, the last couple of days, that he should definitely go? I mean,
weren't me.
Martin Keown was quoted as saying that when he comes back inside his left foot, there's no better player in Europe. than Andros Townsend.
But it doesn't seem that long ago that Andros Townsend was being touted as a new hope for the England team when he burst onto the scene. He hadn't played much for Spurs, and then he quickly got into the England side, and he did well, didn't he? He scored his debut.
Yeah, he had two fantastic games, and to be honest with you, every time he's played for England, he's looked half decent. But he's very predictable. I don't mind if he goes as an impact sub.
Yeah.
And if the teams don't know what he's all about, he can, you know, catch them out. Cut inside, it's a great shot.
I think with the size of the squad though, I mean, I think, you know, it's a big ask for him, I think. Well, for him to get in that squad, I think, you know, it can't take many.
I don't think he should go, but he's in much better form than Walker or say Chamberlain in the same position.
Yeah. Good point, yeah. Definitely.
You're kind of spoiled for choice though, England at the moment, aren't you? Yeah. So
but Townsend's done brilliantly for Newcastle, he's been really good signing for them.
Well, I mean, they're fighting for their lives now. I mean, and it's getting really tight down there. I mean, Crystal Palace, right, they are lost safe. The game, but they are safe
they are
now.
Safe.
Well, you know, when we're talking about this terrible Newcastle defence all season, Benitez has come in there and he straight away has put that Lachelle, who was signed from, put him in at centre-half, he was signed from Notts Forest last year and wasn't given a look in under McLaren. He looks superb. I mean, he looks to me as one of England's best centre-halves at the moment.
It just goes to show you again, though, you don't need to spend stupid amounts of money on talent. It's here. We've repeated this.
We'll definitely be talking about that later on.
Mm. Definitely.
Apparently, Rolando Ahrens is on the Arsenal's radar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was a very strange
thing. Well, Wenger's working.
Yeah, that'll sort it out, Wenger, won't it?
I didn't realise I was going for the title next year. So great
win. They're out of the drop zone, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And Sunderland slipped up away. Stoke 1-1. Well, I mean, they slipped up. I mean, it's a good result. But
it was a last minute penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And
by Jermaine.
Yeah, obviously for Jermaine. I mean, all right, it's a point on the board, and I think he would have taken it.
I think
they
will be a bit disappointed because Stoke are wobbling, aren't they? It's not that interested anymore.
Let's be honest,
without from
they've got games we've got left now. We're talking two or three between clubs now. You know, you've really got to be, if you're getting results, you've got to be winning now. Draws aren't going
to
cut.
I mean,
for
Sunderland to go there and have to get a last minute winner against a team that has nothing to play for really, and haven't been. Have underperformed this season. You think it doesn't look good for them, really.
Yeah, but they have to beat Chelsea next week at home.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I was tipping Sunderland to be the ones that stay up, but after that, I mean, it's going to change every week, isn't it? It changes so quickly.
It's going to go to the wire, I think, with those three sides.
I think it will.
Crouchy had a good game, didn't he?
He was excellent, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a remarkable player. I mean, he's done so well in his career.
I'm surprised he hasn't played more because he doesn't rely on pace. So. He's never going to lose anything there. So he still holds the ball up well.
Well,
he
is 6'7", isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Crouch as well, that he doesn't... When you say he doesn't run pace, I mean, he's got long legs. Yeah. So he covers a lot of distance, even though he's bumbling along.
And he's actually good on the ground.
He's great focal point. He's got pace around him, and
I actually think he's better on the ground than he is in the air, to be honest.
Yeah,
definitely, you know.
Yeah, he's a good player. And
It reminds me of, in the 1990s, Cork City had this player called Damien O'Connell. He actually worked in the same factory as me because it was part-time. And I used to go to Turner's Cross every fortnight to watch them play. And they would just lump the ball into him.
Really?
And expect him to, because he was 6'3".
Just knock the ball down.
And he was useless in the air. And it was really, he had a really good touch and he was really skillful. But they never, and his career kind of went nowhere because they just couldn't understand how to play to his strengths, you know?
Yeah.
That's what teams need to play to Crouch's strengths. He's a very skillful footballer. Yeah. Remember that goal he scored for Liverpool? I think was...
I think he's a quality player, and he's had a great career for a man that
he's
really
done well.
If you look at him, he doesn't look like a Premier
League
footballer.
He's played for so many clubs though, hasn't he? He's,
I think he's played for every club in the country, isn't he, at some point?
I always admire players that get released by their first club. He's released by Tottenham, went to QPR, and he came back from that position, became a top player.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, and Stoke, I mean, all right, as you say, they're not really playing for anything now. They're really stuttering into their season because they did so well to begin with. And it seems to have just sort of...
Well, another thing that they've done is they apparently, I just discovered yesterday that Bojan has only played 3 games in the last 3 months or something.
Mm. Oh, really? I don't know.
That guy's talented, isn't he? I mean, if they're not utilising him, I mean, some of the bigger clubs...
Is it out of choice he's not playing?
I think he's being rested or rotated.
He started the season very well, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And I worry about Mark Hughes staying on there. I'm not sure whether that's going to be... I don't know whether he's going to be doing that because I think there's a lot of rumours about him and Everton. There's a lot of talk with this now at the moment. So I don't know whether that's something that's
I think that would be a good shout because I think... Mm. it looks to me like he's not going to take Stoke much further. I don't. No. It's hard to say, especially with Claudio Ranieri this season. You never know what's going to happen, but I think maybe the Everton job could be interesting to him, you know.
Well, he played for him, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, for briefly, but still he did play for them, yeah.
Arsenal 1, Norwich 0. You know, and I think, Zach, you actually predicted that, and I think we said they were just...
They're lucky, Arsenal. Again, yeah. Lucky.
Back to the George Graham days, lucky, yeah. Arsenal.
Well, the first half, Arsenal started so slowly.
Yeah,
Shane
made Norwich some saves, didn't he? Yeah.
Norwich just grew into the game. Redmond had a couple of chances, didn't he? Mm. Norwich foot played really well and very unlucky.
Yeah,
you feel for Norwich, you know, they're fighting. Unfortunately, I think they're going. I can't see them.
Well, the next game on Saturday morning against Manchester United at home.
Massive. It's a big game. I mean,
big game for both teams.
Huge, you know, and United are playing well at the moment. Yeah. I can't really see Norwich beating
United's, you know, still in that hunt for the fourth place. You can't see them really losing there, can you? But you never know.
And what the hell's going on at Arsenal? Because this was the game where there was these protests against Wenger. So it's becoming a bit of a problem at the club now.
It was a protest, wasn't it?
It was pretty naff, but there's clearly a problem at that club. There's something wrong. Sanchez came off and looked furious and walked down the tunnel. Yeah. That doesn't show that it's all happy in the camp there. I think there are problems.
It's weird. It's not their players. Like, this happens every year. Sort of their form is so flaky. Like Giroud is a good player, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he looks absolutely terrible and has done for about 15 games.
13 games or something, is he?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's got 3 or 4 this season.
I know he made the goal. Cool. He kept him on, didn't he? Nice little nod down for the goal for Welbeck.
Yeah,
a lot of their players. Sanchez has gone in and out of form this year, hasn't
he? But Giroud was scoring quite a few goals at the start of the season.
I think you're right, actually.
He had about 10, I think, by November, and then they just totally dried up for him, you know. Yeah. But then he got dropped as well, when maybe, you know, often a striker, if they're not showing a lot of confidence, the worst thing you can do is drop them, because it just exacerbates the issue. And if they get
amazing, Welbeck
didn't
start, though, because Welbeck's looked sharp, hasn't he? And he came on and looked sharp.
But he's always lively, Welbeck, isn't he? He's always going to try. And even if he doesn't score, he's working hard. He's trying to make things happen. I mean,
but there have been so many underperformers this season as well. I remember they only had Ozil aside and, you know, a couple others. But I mean,
he's dropped out of form recently,
you know? Yeah. I'll get impression some big games he's gone missing very badly as well, you know? Ozil.
What do you reckon of Wenger? Do you reckon he'll go?
No, I don't. I think he will.
I think he will.
Do you reckon he'll go?
I think eventually he's got to. I think the amount of pressure that they'll be under from the fans now, because it's not one or two fans like it used to be in the past. There's a lot of fans that want him out now.
I think the best thing Arsenal could do, because you've got to show respect for a guy has been a great manager for Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think what should happen is the board have a discussion with him and say, I think it's time for a change. Let's announce it. You've got one more. This is your last year, right?
Yeah.
I think everyone will get behind you, and have a right go at trying to win the title in your final year and go out like that.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the decent thing to do. Quite a decent thing to do. And
because his contract's got 1 year left.
I think
the fans
might be happy with that as well
if they know that he's going to go into this season.
Because they need a change. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, certain managers for them, but you look at people that are on the market. All right, Simeone's not exactly on the market at the moment. You know, he could be winning the Champions League this year.
Yeah.
But I mean, what a signing he would be for Arsenal. Someone like that to come in and just completely change the club and change this bizarre method where they clearly don't believe they're going to win. They don't believe they're going to win the league.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there as well, because I think mentality is a big problem at Arsenal, because they've absolutely got players that can play.
Mm.
They're probably one of the most stylish teams to watch, and probably the most stylish team to watch, really.
Yeah, I mean, they're out there with Barcelona.
And they can beat Barcelona's, and they can beat Bayern Munich's on their day, but they just don't have that belief, you know. And it is crucially important.
I mean, you've got to start the Premier League season. If you're Arsenal, you've got to start the Premier League thinking, we're going to win that trophy.
Of course we're going to win it, mate. We're Arsenal. Of course we are.
It was like Wenger. That was a good Wenger impression.
You know that guy who's on Storage Wars, the Arsenal fan, and he's always on Arsenal TV, and the Spurs fans, they always post videos of him. He's really loud sort of guy.
Is this the guy that changes his tune quite a lot?
Arsenal TV is great, by the way, if you haven't watched
it. Really? Oh, is it Comedy Gold?
Yeah, it is Comedy Gold. It really is. It's so funny. Spurs fans love it, because obviously
I bet they do.
There's this video of him first thing. It's a clip of the first clip of him saying, like, in November, of course we're going to win the league, mate. Of course we're Arsenal. And then it cuts to the scene of him last week and said, we're fucked.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
But Wenger just doesn't address anything. Every year it's the same old thing, isn't it?
It's just the same year after year, isn't it? They go into the Champions League with no belief they're going to win it. They don't go in it to win it at all. They just hope they're going to go as long as they roughly can. You can't go into a tournament. And I'm sorry, they're, you know, one of the richest clubs in the world. You know,
but you know what Arsenal, what Arsenal really need is they need a thug in midfield.
Yes,
you
know? Like they need Gilberto Fellaini. Silva, they need a monster. Or, like, I'm going to beat everyone up.
Or Vieira. I mean, not saying Vieira was a thug as such, but Gilberto Silva, a monster.
I read this morning, interesting Kante now.
Yeah, that's been said for quite a bit now. I think if they got him, you'd have to look at him as being, well, he will get the ball and you know.
Yeah, you need a bit of a driver, like you said, a bit of a monster, but you need someone's going to drive him when it's going wrong and you've got to play a bit ugly and say, you know, they're going to bruise us here. We need to kick back a little bit.
The point is that this has been, we've all been saying this as football fans for about 10 years. Well, that's what Arsenal need, and he hasn't done anything about it. Yeah. You know, it's mad,
but apart from Arsenal, madness. No, you know. But,
yeah,
but.
Strange, very strange. So on to the next game: Southampton 4, Man City 2. That was a really bizarre result. I didn't see that.
And I mean, the game was crazy. Southampton could have been 6 or 7.
Yeah,
and I mean, also what a talent Iheanacho is. Absolutely, every game he scores now, he's like. He's got to be pressing for a first team place next season, you know. I mean, I know obviously they've got Aguero and he's a goal scorer, but Iheanacho, the goals he scores, and he scores pretty much every game.
Yeah. They might have to find a way of, you know, playing both of them up front.
Diamonds in midfield, maybe. But I mean, like, I think Aguero has got the ability to maybe play a bit deeper in a way, you know, kind of like almost like a Maradona type, sort of Messi type player, because he's got the skill as well. Although obviously he's got the natural instinct to get into the goal scoring positions. Yeah. But if he's got that, he's playing a little bit deeper behind a Predator, and he's got the ability to score goals, well, my God, it might be hard to stop next season.
They've got a big season with the manager change coming up. I mean, this is a disaster result for them, really. I mean,
well, they're just too open sometimes, aren't they? So Southampton smashed them. Yeah. We've seen this loads of times this year.
I mean, the amount of money they have spent on central defenders, they spent nearly £100 million on central defenders.
And they're all shit.
And they're absolutely they are so vulnerable in their defence, you know.
Oh, I can't get over this.
Yeah, their midfield isn't hard enough either. I mean, Torre's not interested anymore, is he?
Yeah, absolutely. They've got Silva, who is incapable of tackling. They got, you know, obviously they got.
He's injured a lot as well now, isn't he?
They got Fernandinho when he plays. He's quite solid and
Delph's bang average.
Delph.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of a strange signing.
I mean,
really,
obviously, I think for City, what they'd be looking to do next season to get Paul Pogba, obviously. I mean, like, most big clubs want him.
Yeah, well, I've heard they're also after Walcott. I've heard, apparently, that's one of the top of their list.
Yeah, get him in the central midfield.
Let them have him, my God.
Arsenal drive him there, I think. Yeah, unbelievable. But Southampton, good result for them, and sort of keeps them in the shout of the European spots now, you know.
Mane suddenly appeared again. He's gone missing
absolutely
for months.
A brilliant
top
hat-trick,
player, isn't he?
And Shane Long had a great game as well. And I'm really happy with that, with the Euros coming up, you know, because we're going to need him. I think we might need a few goals from Shaney.
Definitely will. Next game, I got this right, spot on.
I know you did. Yeah,
West
Brom. Yeah, West Brom 0, West Ham 3. I was really pleased, and obviously, and I thought we were excellent. West Ham.
Yeah, difficult
really
start,
well.
Wasn't it? First 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, West Brom played well.
Rode their luck a little bit there, and then as soon as we got the first goal and complete control.
I think it was a bit of a routine win, really.
So he's looking super sharp at the moment. Super sharp is Andy Carroll. Touch wood. Anyway, I've touched my own head. He stays fit because. He does take time when he comes back into the side after an injury to show what he's about. It takes him about 6 games, and in the last 3 or 4 games, he's been.
I don't think there's a centre forward. If that's not an antiquated expression, but I don't think there's a forward player that has got that sort of terror.
On the floor, he's looking really good. He's holding the ball up. He set up
the third goal. The cross was lovely.
And he's second to none. England have got to take him, but they won't. But I'm telling you, what an option off the bench.
Hodgson has said that he won't take him.
It's ridiculous.
But you never know. I mean, he still might. I mean, I think he absolutely should go as a. Yeah. Although I feel weird about the whole. Mentality of managers who throw on the big man if things aren't going well.
Yeah, but
if you think that's an effective way to score, why didn't you do it from the start of the match?
The thing is, the situation where you're going to need Carroll is when you're 1-2-0 down or whatever, with 10 minutes to go, you've tried, you know, to play the proper way, if you like, and it's just you don't look like doing it. Throw on Andy Carroll, you've tried to sort of do it.
Yeah, and you win headers. You know,
throw him on. The other team have got to think about something different.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of last ditch. It's like plan Z. It's not plan B, it's plan Z. but if you've got someone like that, take him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you made a very valid point earlier, is that Carroll also offers more than just that. Anyway, you know.
Yeah, he's good on the ground.
When he's fit, he does.
When he's fit, and I mean, he's scored. I remember a couple when he was still in Newcastle, he scored a belter from 30 yards, didn't he?
Yeah, nice left foot.
So I mean, he's got good feet as well. I mean, I think modern footballers have to be. I mean, you can't just be a Tony Cascarino kind of anymore, really.
I think we should just take Crouch and Carroll. I think it'll be fine. Yeah. That trophy's ours. But yeah, no, it's a great result for West Ham. And West Brom, you know, it seems to be sort of falling away now.
And it's funny that the way West Ham season is going, it's now almost in their own hands to get into the Champions League. You know, they just need one result between City and Arsenal.
They need Arsenal to go to Man City and win. And if West Ham win their last three games, West Ham will finish fourth. And West Ham's last three are Swansea at home, Manchester United at home, massive.
Yeah.
I mean, away to Stoke, who look like they've gone on holiday, so it's possible.
I mean, conversely, Manchester United are in a pretty identical situation because they beat West Ham at the Bullion Ground and win the other two games against Bournemouth and Norwich.
Then you'll finish it. As long as
City draw with Arsenal. So it's
exciting. I can't believe we actually had a conversation with Zachary Stevenson and we're talking about which one of our clubs is going to go into Champions League and we're West Ham fans.
I was saying it all weekend to my brother. I was saying, don't you think it's weird how we're looking out for Manchester United and Arsenal results?
Three games to go in the season. Usually we're looking at more like Norwich.
Yeah.
I hope they draw, you know.
Oh, we're safe.
Thank God for that. It's always next season. Absolutely. We might finish 16. Right, we have to talk about it now. We can't hold back any longer.
We have to, as if there's any reluctance to talk about it. I mean,
new champions of England, Leicester City.
Absolutely.
Won the league.
Wonderful.
I just feel everything we say about it, it's like it's been said a million times before, but we're going to say it again because it's just
they swear more.
It defies logic.
They're dropping Amstel as well into the conversation.
It just, every time I look at it, I think, Nah. I'm still dreaming.
Makes you think that anything is possible in your
life. Anything is possible in football, especially. And you know, you make a very good point, a philosophical point, that anything's possible in life. It really is.
It's unbelievable.
You look at politics and you think, like, you know, people talk about Jeremy Corbyn being unelectable. Now he's the leader of the Labour Party. He won that election. Labour have overtaken the Tories in the polls, although the recent anti-Semitism thing might have come back to... But the whole Leicester City winning and that sort of thing happening, it just shows that anything is possible. And it's a profound effect on society, I think. I might be going a bit over the top with it, but...
Yeah. I mean, they've been good all season. They started well. They were at the top, right around the top to begin with. And it was always, everyone said, it won't last. It just won't.
I said with 100% conviction, right here in this room, about just after they'd drawn the home at Manchester United, they won't win the league. There's no way they win the league.
Because
I mean, I looked at that match and I thought, they looked like a team that was getting results, but then eventually the wheels would fall off the train and they'd run out of steam. And I can use another million sort of allegories.
The impressive thing for me was that there's two different Leicester sides this season. There's a side at the start of the season. I mean, both sides played on the break, but they were chipping a few goals in the first half of the season. And they were scoring loads. And then when it sort of got to squeaky bum time, you thought, can they see this out? They did it with all these 1-0 wins.
Absolutely.
Ranieri, he's obviously just tightened them up. They played even deeper. And they saw games out like champions.
But that bank when of you're four,
up,
yeah.
Yeah, when you're 1-0 up with 20 minutes to go, and you just see it out every game. And that was the difference between now and Tottenham in the end. And it showed, we'll talk about the Chelsea-Spurs game in a minute, but when you're 2-0 up away from home against the top side, Chelsea still have got top players. You've got to change your game plan. You've got to see it out. You've got to stop throwing your fullbacks, go flying forwards. You can't do that. Yeah. Leicester, they just played like proper champions in the last 2 months of the season. It's unbelievable.
I mean, I remember, you know, all those 1-0 wins. At the point when everyone thought they were going to start, dropping points and losing matches, they got more solid. They actually got more solid.
I think I mentioned this before, it reminded me of Manchester United, I think it was in 95, where they were smashing teams start of the season, and then the last couple of months it was like 1-0 Cantona every week.
It would have been 94. 95 was the Blackburn year.
So 94. And that's exactly what Leicester
absolutely
did.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. I can't believe they've done it.
And, I mean, yeah, it's just everything about it. Kasper Schmeichel has probably been one of the best goalkeepers in the league.
Yeah.
Each one of their defenders would be worthy of an inclusion in the team of the season. Each one of their midfield players, and Jamie Vardy and Mahrez, and even honourable mentions to Okazaki and Ojoa. You know, I mean, they're just fantastic. It's words cannot describe.
I know, and it's actually happened.
I've heard Viv Anderson saying that, you know, it's nothing compared to Forest winning the title in 77. Now, that was a great thing. They'd just been promoted that season, but it was a totally different time. And
that was an era where it was possible for anyone to win the league. What it is now. But you know what I mean?
More,
you didn't have Manchester United and Liverpool buying your best player.
No, money wasn't in the game. Really.
Every side had a you know, very good player that was capable of winning the league.
Most teams in those days, they were kind of, it was a lot more localised. You know, you'd say Nottingham Forest would probably have five or six players in the Nottingham area, and you know, Liverpool would have Scousers playing for them, United would have Mancunians. Now, nowadays, people just hoovered up from anywhere all over the world for the most amount of money, and it's based on, you know, this guy is rated very highly, let's pay for him. But Leicester City, the way they got their team together, I mean, they got some real rejects, like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that Danny Drinkwater and Mark Albright would have been would have been the fulcrum of the champions.
Wes Morgan, captaining the title winning side at the age of 32, he was basically not thought of to be good enough for Notts Forest about 40 years ago in the championship, in League One, didn't he?
It's remarkable.
I mean, Jamie Vardy, who nearly went to Sheffield Wednesday last season from Leicester, and then they gave him a run on the side, and this guy's okay.
And I believe he's top scorer, isn't he, Vardy? Is he still top scorer?
I think Kane might have.
Mahrez has plucked out the second division in France for £400,000.
£400,000.
But, you know, Nigel Pearson signed a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
You've got to give him credit as well. Fuchs signed. It was his last signing, was a free transfer just before he left.
Yeah.
Well, most of the side was signed by Pearson, I think.
But I just loved the way Ranieri managed the team to the title, and they did it with ease in the end. It didn't look like bottling it once, did they? I know they had a wobble against West Ham, but that's because Vardy was sent off. That changes games.
It does, yeah. He's a key player, isn't he?
I made a point yesterday on Facebook, and it's almost inevitable. You know, these clubs, the big clubs, should be looking at this team and now saying, look, why are we spending hundreds of millions of pounds on players? Why? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But what will probably happen is they will just spend £100 million on the Leicester City team.
That's what they'll do. We have to talk about, you know, soon we'll come on to Leicester's plans.
I would love it if they all stuck together and, you know, made a couple of good signings. I mean, apparently if Kante goes, the same William Carvalho might come in to play for them. I mean, it would be nice if the team stuck together, had a goal in the Champions League, wouldn't it? You know.
Well, I mean, they're saying now, I think this whole winning the Premier League's done for them. I think it's £150 million they should estimate to make out of it. I mean, it's a good opportunity here for them to push on. I mean, I mean, it surely can't happen again. I mean, it can't, can it?
If that club gets in the Champions League, does quite well, they could set themselves up as being one of the big clubs now for a few years, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they've got to say to each other, haven't they? They've got a great opportunity to do something. They've done something unbelievable. Really push on, take it further. Why not? Why can't they do it again?
And why would Kante want to go from the champions to Arsenal, perennial fourth place team?
You'd like to go out after the group stage, though, don't you? That's his dream, isn't it? Get to the group stage, then immediately
going to the game at the weekend, the draw at Manchester United. I still look at these games and think, Man United at home to Leicester, surely Man United.
I know.
My brain won't let me accept that Leicester, you know, are the top side in the country. So I thought Man United are going to turn them over here. Went one up. Here we go.
Yeah.
But Leicester are superb after that. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant, weren't they?
They were, absolutely.
Yeah. They could have snatched it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a tight
game. The first 20 minutes, United, apart from the Leicester goal, Leicester scored with their first attack.
Yeah.
That's right. And United did batter them for a bit. But then they rode that and they settled in, you know?
Yeah, right. Where would the storm come?
Absolutely. Just like a championship winning team would do, you know, a championship as in Premier League championship.
They've only lost three games all season. That says it all. I think it's that's amazing.
Leicester City, and what's more remarkable is that this time last year, they were battling relegation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, survived by the skin of their teeth. I mean,
but what I didn't actually realise, I think Robert Huth came in the January transfer window of last season when they started the revival.
Mm.
He's played something like 45, 46 games for Leicester in the league, and then he lost
three or four games.
Lost one in the running last year.
Yeah,
that's a mark, wasn't it?
40 odd games.
Unbelievable.
And Robert Huth, you know, I mean, he's just, you know, there's no way.
Rejected by Stoke. I mean, I remember this at the start, was it the start of the season when he had a go at one of the Bournemouth players, and they thought, oh, not again. But I mean, he's been a bit of a naughty boy.
He's been a thug. I mean,
he's been a thug, you know. But then again, you kind of need those in your squad.
Perfect, isn't it? That's exactly
the type of player they want at the back.
Just a solid, you know, takes no nonsense.
You need players who just absolutely refuse to lose.
Yeah.
And Leicester have got 11 of them. They've probably got 13, 14 of them, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Nathan Dyer, like, and Gray, they got some really nice substitutes as well, you know. I mean...
That's so Amari Gray, that's a very good player. Yeah. He comes off the bench.
I think they've only used 23 players all season, haven't they? I mean, that's
I still don't think it's real. And also, Ranieri. I mean, Ranieri just won the league with Leicester.
I was just thinking this yesterday. I'd really like to go back and listen to our show, because we talked about it when you
slagged him off, I think.
I believe I said I think it could be a good move, but I mean...
I've only dropped the C bomb once on the show, and it was to say that Ranieri is a silly old cunt. that's what I said about that appointment, because I couldn't believe it, because he was just shocking as a manager of Greece. He hadn't done anything for years, and I feel really bad saying, because I love Ranieri, but I just thought this is a ridiculous appointment. Lineker said it himself on Twitter.
Myself and Marianne, my girlfriend, we were in watching the Dilly Ding Dilly Dong video, and we just got obsessed with Dilly Ding Dilly Dong. I'm going to get a Dilly Ding Dilly Dong t-shirt. I think I have to make it myself.
That's brilliant.
Jamie Vardy's having a party!
And they did, didn't they? The next day,
I think they cancelled training.
And I think if you notice closely, I think you notice quite a bit of coke in the background. No, I don't think
that's... No, come on, you can't see that. We can't say that.
No.
We have to edit that out. Coca-Cola.
Oh, I'm only joking. Yeah, yeah. Obviously a Coca-Cola. Yeah. What do you think of it? Tottenham blew it, though. I mean, all right, when I say blew it, I think it was out of their hands anyway. I think Leicester are always going to win the league. I think it was gone a little while ago. But they lost it in bizarre fashion, wasn't it, at Stamford Bridge? It finished 2-2. But
I've never seen a game like that in the Premier League.
I've seen a game like that since the 80s.
It was just violent.
Did you know that it's the most bookings any team has ever received in the history of the Premier League?
Nine players.
Honestly, Eric Dyer.
You lost it, Dyer.
Do you know when you're playing FIFA and
and you get so angry, you mean, I'm just going to break someone's leg.
Yeah, and you just think you're just going to foul all the time, see how many players you can get sent off. For the last 15 minutes, that's how Spurs were playing.
Yeah.
So every player was clattering into
how
them.
How was Dyer not sent off?
I can't understand it.
He's been booked. He'd been just like chopped someone out of nowhere.
And the referee
allowed play to go on, so I thought he's got to come back.
And there was a foul. And then he booked the player for that challenge and Dyer's run past him.
And Dembele gouging.
Walker and Rose were lucky to be on the pitch. They didn't get booked early on.
At the end, Michel Vorm was going mental. Did you see that?
Lamella definitely pushed over. Lamella definitely trod on Fabregas's hand on purpose, although I did enjoy that.
But it's poor from Spurs, really, though, because it's really poor and sort of, you know, you should be a bit gracious.
I just thought that.
You know, you don't need to be a Spurs.
It was a shame.
They were superb, Tottenham, to go 2-0 up. They're brilliant. But like I said before, they just don't seem to know when to shut the game up. They seem over pumped, especially Walker and Rose. They're just too pumped up.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to keep a calmer game.
And to lose their discipline in the way they did, there was nobody sent off, I just don't understand it.
There should have
been at least two or three players sent off.
And straight reds as well. It wasn't even a second booking, it was a straight red. Yeah. They were shocking.
Or in yellow, it should have been straight red. I don't know.
I wonder if they were just trying to get the match abandoned so it would just be cancelled and say, well, we have to do a replay.
Well, no, it would actually be 3-0 win to Chelsea.
Oh, is that how it would work? Yeah.
So,
Yeah, what do you have to do these days to get a point deducted anyway? I mean, do you remember that brawl between Arsenal and Man United years ago?
Yeah.
Proper brawl. I know it's like every player on the pitch. Both had points deducted.
Brian McClair and Nigel Winterburn. That stemmed from the 1987 FA Cup quarter-final when United had a penalty with 3 minutes to go. They were 2-1 down. And McClair ballooned it, and Nigel Winterburn ran up in his face pointing at him.
And then
a few years later, 2 years later, I think it was, and maybe three, and the big brawl happened. And I think United got deducted a point and Arsenal 2 points. That was handbags. That was handbags. I mean,
but this was pretty violent, and also it kicked off after, you know, it was going to, you know,
Carl Walker walks off with a bloodied nose. I don't know where that came from. I see that and went down the tunnel, blood came from his
and
nose.
Apparently, Hiddink had to stop the Chelsea players trying to storm the Spurs dressing room.
Yeah, that's right. And Hiddink went down a pit, you know, like one of those little pits on the other side of the pitch. He got pushed.
Yeah,
and he went over backwards into the pit.
But do you hear what he said then? He says, if someone who's done a bit of judo and a bit of wrestling, you should know how to take a fall, you know.
I did laugh though in the last minute when Willian had a free kick to win it for Chelsea, to win the match for them.
Yeah.
And he just played the ball into, like, considering he scored about 9 free kicks this season in all competitions, he just played the ball into the corner to waste time. So you can understand why the Spurs players would have been fuming, because Chelsea didn't have.
No,
you
know, they just wanted to spoil Spurs' party.
They bloody did as well.
Because Hazard had said a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, last week, that he didn't want Spurs to win it.
He said that even that everyone at the club doesn't want them to win. He said,
by the way, Hazard, where's he been all season?
Did you hear a statistic about Hazard after that match? Apparently, he's made 11% of all tackles in that half against Spurs for the whole season. Yeah,
that's amazing.
I think it was tackles that it must
really,
have been.
Really, yeah. Because he had a really good game. Fantastic. He was amazing. Yeah, game. And what a goal as well. What a
beautiful goal, yeah.
Oh, well, it was just, you know, Spurs.
Maybe his last ever Chelsea goal, you know?
I think he's going to struggle to stay on there. Because I know he's not really well liked.
I mean, PSG would like him. And I think some other big clubs like him. They're not in the Champions League next season, so.
And I get the impression from Hazard, I think he wouldn't mind a bit of an easy ride league. I don't know if he likes all this kicking in. Yeah, I think he struggles with it. I think he'd like the idea of going to France and winning 8-0 every other week.
Perhaps,
I think he'd quite enjoy
it. And he presumably speaks French as well.
He might well do.
But I think with last thing I'll say about Tottenham, I know there's going to be a lot of changes with all the other sides that should be challenging for the title next season.
Mm.
But I think they've got to be considered one of the main favourites, because I don't think they're going to change too much.
Mm. No.
And everyone else is going to be buying, selling players, shuffling players around.
Yeah.
Mm. They're going to be, they've got that core, haven't they?
I think like all teams. They probably need one or two to freshen things up, you know, just to give themselves a few more options.
Yeah.
And some players may see the exit, but they've got the basis of a fantastic side, haven't they?
So, gents, right, the title race is done, but the predictions race is still very much alive.
Yes, the race Fernando.
I mean, obviously, everyone's going to be tuning into this because no one gives a shit about the Premier League anymore. Last week, gentlemen, all scored all right. Zach, you got 8 points. Rob, 8. I got 7. So not really the week you needed, though, Zach.
I thought I was going to do worse than that. Actually.
No, you did all right. You got two perfect scores.
I've made up 1 point on the leader, haven't I?
Indeed. At the moment, I'm sitting on 82. Rob, you're on 80, and Zach on 69. So Zach, you need a really good week now. You need things to turn. Well, it's only got 8 weeks. Two weeks.
Only
really.
Two more batches of matches. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still all to play for. Still 60 points to play for.
Can we include the Championship playoffs?
Just throwing it out there.
1-0, 1-0.
Right, this week, let's kick things off with Norwich versus Manchester United. This is going to be a really tough game to call, because Norwich obviously are fighting for their lives. Man United are fighting for fourth. I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for Man United. You know, I just don't. I think it's going to be a tight game.
No way. They'll have a game. They'll definitely have a game, you know.
Yeah. I know, but I think United are going to edge it. I think they're going to edge it by 2-1. Against Norwich.
Yeah, I was thinking something similar, but my policy of not ever predicting exactly the same thing, and I was going to say 3-2 anyway.
You're going to say 3-2 Manchester United?
Yeah, Norwich are capable of scoring. They've got some, you know, some good players. They had that 4-3 match against Liverpool this season. I think we could see something along those lines.
Yeah.
But I think United will have just about too much for them.
I'd love
seeing Norwich do it for obvious reasons. Mm. West Ham need them to do it for them, but can't see it. I think Man United will edge them out 2-1.
You're in 2-1 as well, okay. Zachary, Aston Villa, the mighty Villa.
Yes.
Everything to play for. Versus Newcastle. I mean, must win for Newcastle.
I think Rob pointed out earlier that Newcastle seem to have solved a bit of a problem in their defence.
Yeah.
Which means that there's absolutely zero chance of Aston Villa scoring. And you'd fancy Newcastle to get one. I'm going to go 2-0.
2-0 to Newcastle? To
Newcastle, yeah.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Rob?
Yeah. Yeah, with what's at stake, and we feel already down, I think that's going to be 1-0 Newcastle.
Do you reckon? 1-0 to Newcastle, okay. Joe, what? I'm going to call, I reckon it's going to be a draw. Villa, you know, they've got to start, you know, they've got nothing to worry about now. You know, they might as well play for a bit of pride.
We didn't talk about Villa earlier, actually, in their capitulation against Watford.
Oh my god. That wasn't a game, was it? What an unbelievable game. Did you see that?
I just got
yeah, they were, there wasn't
updates,
they,
but
they were winning, wasn't they? 2-1 up with what?
Minute left,
like lost.
Two Deeney goals, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah.
It was
two Deeney.
Unbelievable. But I think they're going to draw this. I mean, it's going to be 2-0.
That would have been a great headline, wouldn't it? Two Deeney. Houdini. They escaped the defeat. And won.
You are lost. You know, the Sun are going to be calling you when they hear this.
Well, I mean, nothing can ever beat Super Caligo Ballistic Celtic are atrocious.
That was, you know, we've talked about that before. Yeah. That was amazing. I think that was Nambuka Radio Day.
I think so, yeah.
Amazing. Rob, next game, Bournemouth versus West Bromwich Albion.
Oh, blimey.
Really,
Not much going on there, is there?
Are they even going to show up?
I think.
What would be the worst in. They could do worse than not turning up.
Imagine one with the fans shouting when the players just said we're going to leave and just go down the pub.
Didn't they have Brian Robson's Middlesbrough not turn up for a game once and had points deducted and went down because of it?
That is right, and they haven't come back since, actually, have they? And then they complained when West Ham didn't get points deducted a few years later, didn't they?
That's right, yeah. The Tevez, is that what we're referring to?
The Tevez incident, yeah.
Tevez Gate. Rob, what do you reckon then? Bournemouth versus West Brom? I mean,
there might be a few goals, hopefully. Well, no, they won't be, will they? Because Tony Pulis manages West Brom and he'll just
put his cap on and say,
2-1 Bournemouth.
What time is the pub closing?
Yeah, 2-1 Bournemouth.
2-1 to Bournemouth, okay. I reckon it'll be a Bournemouth win as well. I think it's going to be 2-0.
Yeah, I think Bournemouth to see off their home season in style, 3-0.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Crystal Palace versus
By
Stoke.
The way, can we just mention what a season Bournemouth have had? Like, I mean,
I know.
Who thought that they would do what they've done? You know, they've had some really nice wins. They've beaten Manchester United.
Without their main striker as well, I think he's a very good player. Callum Wilson's going to be a top player.
I hope he declares for Ireland as well, you know, because he qualifies for us, yeah.
I know, so West Ham are looking at him and he's a viable option.
Yeah, he's bright, isn't he? He's sharp and, you know, he scores goals.
And we all said at the beginning of the season that they were destined to go straight back down.
Absolutely. And I thought it was inevitable,
really well.
Yeah.
They've coped really well.
I'm not making predictions anymore about anything.
I thought they might just be all right and they've done it easily. They've stayed easily and got a top manager. Playing really good football.
I think we all said Leicester to go down, didn't we?
Yeah. So I definitely did.
Yeah,
I didn't. I said win the league. I definitely said, it sounded like a sneeze at the time, but I said league.
There's a guy I know. A guy I know posted a picture of a betting slip, Leicester to win 100-1.
Mm.
Says he put down £100.
Yeah,
but conveniently, it's just the bit you write on. He hasn't shown the ticket
or anything. Yeah.
He's just winding people up.
Chance.
Right, Crystal Palace versus Stoke. Again, there's not really much going on here. I still think Palace will beat them because I think Stoke seems to have just lost their interest in this season. I'm going to go with 1-0 to Crystal Palace.
Well, it depends what Palace do here because they've got the FA Cup final coming up, you know.
That's a good point.
So they may want to rest some of their players. If I was Alan Pardew, I wouldn't play Connor Wickham, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? I think you want to keep even Bolasie and some of their impact players. If they pick up an injury, they got no chance at Wembley, have they?
You don't think they might want to get some momentum going into it?
Like? I don't know. Maybe playing for half an hour so they can get a bit of sharpness and keep a bit of match fitness, but I wouldn't risk those players for 90 minutes. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't personally.
So I'd say Stoke might sneak this one 2-1.
2-1 to Stoke, really? Okay. Yeah. Your loyalty with Mark Hughes carries on.
Yeah.
Lost interest in that.
Fuck Mark Hughes.
Yeah, I was gonna predict an away win for this 1-0 to Stoke for the same reasons. Really, I know Pardew in 2006 West Ham. He rested all the players leading up to the cup final until they played Tottenham in the last game. We played our best side for some reason. Yeah. Stopped getting the Champions League, but I think they'll rest players and Stoke will nick it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Zachary, yes. Sunderland, you know,
against Chelsea.
Against Chelsea, fighting relegation, Sunderland. This is going to be a good game, I think.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a good game.
Yeah, I don't know what all the permutations are, but I don't think Sunderland are going to win this. I think they'll give it a good go, but Chelsea, another free kick from Willian and maybe a bundle goal from Costa, 2-1 to Chelsea.
2-1 Chelsea.
Well, Defoe will get one, I think.
Yeah. What do you believe? What do you reckon?
I just don't think Chelsea has shown any fight this season, apart from against Spurs the other day. But for some reason they really cared.
Even the first half I thought Chelsea were pretty woeful, to be honest. Yeah. It was only the sort of second half they sort of came to life when
if Hazard turns on plays like he did, you know, the other night again, then they'll beat Sunderland, but I don't think he will this time. I think Sunderland will be right up for it, get right in their faces and win 2-1.
2-1 Sunderland. I'm going to go with a Sunderland win as well. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think they're going to nick it 1-0.
I mean, I predicted for them to stay up as well, so if they're going to start, they've got to win this.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to make you look a right knob. Rob, it's you. West Ham, Swansea.
Oh, Andy Carroll loves playing Swansea and he's in great form.
He hates Welsh people. He just hates them.
He does. He hates them.
He has a field day against this lot and I can't see it being any different. I think West Ham are going to smash them 3-0.
3-0, yeah. Oh, I hate saying West Ham are going to win. Like, I know I said it last week, I did.
The penultimate game at the bowling, Mark.
I know. I don't think it's going to be that much. I think they're going to win 2-0. West Ham will do it.
If we got extra point, if it was like betting odds and the more outlandish the score, the higher points you got, I'd say something.
I went for Man City.
I was going to say 5-1, but I think I'm going to go.
You need to remember when I went for Man City.
West Ham 5-1.
Remember when I went for Man City to beat Aston Villa 7-0 and they're like 5-0 up after that 47 minutes.
Unbelievable. Who is this now? This is myself, I believe. Yeah, it's Leicester versus Everton. Well, Leicester, I mean, they're going to lifting the trophy. Everton have been poor all season. They're going to sort of do it with a win. I think it's going to be routine. I think it's going to be 3-0 to Leicester.
Now, I wasn't going to say anything until you'd already made a prediction, because I think they don't give a fuck at this stage. they have won the league. They've had a big party. I think they'll be.
But they're still partying now.
I think they might be. I think they'll be almost literally hungover. And Everton, they can take advantage. I'm going to go for an Everton win 1-0.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you need to start.
It's a common thing with champions when they're always to lose a few games at the end, you know?
I totally agree. When you look over the years, I remember Manchester United's last game under Ferguson, and it was just like against West Brom, was it like 6-5 or something?
5-5, yeah.
I mean, something like that could happen.
And they lost 1-0 to West Ham in the last day of the season, 2007. I mean, it happens quite a lot, you know.
Well, West Ham needed to win Stout as well. That's a bit different, but.
But Everton will want to win, won't they? I mean, Martinez
is fighting for his job, really, isn't he?
I'd be interested to see if Leicester are going to play with the same staff. I'm sure they will, actually, but I think it'll be 3-3.
Really, 3-3. There's some cracking scores there. Right, Zachary.
Yes.
Tottenham Hotspur are playing Southampton.
This is a tricky one, actually. What are Spurs going to be feeling now? Well, they want to get the second place, won't they?
Yes, definitely. So, now it's the battle with Arsenal now, isn't it? They want to finish with Arsenal.
They've lost twice at home, haven't they, against Leicester and Newcastle. But I don't think Southampton will treat it with the importance of Spurs will. I think Spurs 3-1.
3-1 to Tottenham. Yeah. Okay.
Shane Long will score one. Come on, Longy boy!
Prepping, you really want him to start to bag some goals, didn't you?
Yeah, I do. Get some momentum, yeah.
Southampton have still got a sniff of Europa League, haven't they?
They have,
I just think Spurs will definitely want to make sure they finish above the Arsenal now. I mean, if they don't finish above them this season, they'll be absolutely...
They won't be really live it down, will they?
No, they won't. So I think they'll have a nice routine, 2-0. They'll make
2-0,
sure.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I think it's going to be a tight game myself. As you say, Southampton are fighting here. I'm going to say it's going to be 1-1 this game. I don't think it's going to be that straightforward.
That edges us a little bit closer to Nando's, Rob.
Rob, it's you now. Liverpool versus Watford.
I think it'd be a nice little routine win for Liverpool 2-0.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny this game because, I mean, there's nothing really to play for Watford, but I mean, I don't know. Liverpool, they're a funny side, aren't they?
I tell you what, say for a team like Liverpool are sort of at the top of the league and they're winning games 2-0 every week. They're not.
They're not, it's not routine for them. And I find that these are the games they sometimes stutter on. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be 0-0. I'm going to go for a mighty 0-0.
Well, I think this might have something to do with dependence on what happens at Liverpool against Villarreal. Because
very good point.
If they win against Villarreal, then they may also think of resting players. If they don't win, they go out, they might think, let's finish season on a high.
Yeah.
So, but I still think, 1-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, 1-0 Liverpool. And the last game.
Sounds sensible enough, doesn't that? I mean, let's try and be conservative, pick everything 1-0 to the home team.
The next game is a big one, Manchester City versus Arsenal.
Oh.
I mean, this is a huge game. As a West Ham fan, really need Arsenal to win this.
As a Manchester United supporter, I also need.
Yeah, we all really want to see it, but I don't know. Do I see it happening? I don't know. Maybe.
Am I right in saying that United can afford that match to be a draw? West Ham need Arsenal to win.
Yeah, we need them to win. I think
obviously we need to beat West Ham anyway.
Am I right? I think Manchester have got three games to go. You have.
We're a point ahead of West Ham. Yeah,
but you've got three to go.
Three to go. So
like West Ham, and they've only got two. So yeah, you're right. They can afford a draw here. We need Arsenal to win. I'm going to say, please, it can't happen. I'm going to say 1-0 to Arsenal. Giroud.
So don't you have three games to go as well, don't you?
Yeah,
three to go. And one of them is against you. So
that's the match that was rescheduled, I suppose. From
and obviously, if Arsenal win that game, then it makes the Man United West Ham Man United game just unbelievable because it's just.
I'm next to me.
You're next.
I don't think I'm being overly optimistic or anything. I think the draw that Manchester United need, I think that'll happen. I think it'll be 1-1.
What do you reckon, Rob?
Can I make a tactical prediction or do I have to say what I really think will happen?
what do you reckon?
I'll say what I really think will happen. I was going to go against your result and predict a City win, but I honestly think that Arsenal might pull this out of the bag.
Yeah,
it's a big typical Arsenal to go out there.
Shocking performance. Tottenham just fluffed the league.
Yeah.
What an opportunity for them to pip them now to second. Yeah, they would love to do that.
Yeah,
and look, if Southampton can batter them, then there's no reason why Arsenal can't beat
them. A lot of teams have gone to City and beaten them this season.
They've been very bad. Yeah. They either hammer teams or lose against them.
Arsenal beat them last year out there, of course. So I'm going to go for 2-1 Arsenal win if they start Danny Welbeck. Can you put that in?
Welbeck starts.
Well, remember I had that if Van Gaal is in charge and if he's not in charge. So if you want Welbeck, it starts 2-1. Yeah. Welbeck doesn't start?
It will be 1-0.
1-0. I'm going to say Welbeck.
The Welbeck factor. Well, it's all down here on tape anyway, so.
Yes. Anyway, gentlemen, that's it for another week.
Thank you very much for listening, folks.
Yeah,
and thank you very much, Panini, for the stickers you're sending us, and Budweiser for the money and beer that you're giving us.
Thank you so much.
Well done, Claudio. I always said you'd be a great appointment for Leicester.
Yeah.
Well done, Leicester City.
Cheers. See you later.
See ya.
Nice one. Your room, I'll leave wide door open for me. Dead leaves upon the grass, I walk myself clean through 70 dreams. We broke like a paper seam, but when it breaks, don't cry.